And yes, indeed, our next guest is online. And the question is, young people constitute a critical demography in South Africa. However, their influence on national politics has remained limited and their participation in the recent elections disappointing. There is a sense that traditional politics and representative democracies fail to attract the attention of young people despite them having been at the forefront of bringing political transformation to introduce us to post-apartheid South Africa. This is according to the Executive Director at the Democracy Development Program at the University of KwaZulu-Natal, Dr. Paul Kariuki. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me on the show, and good afternoon to all your listeners.
Good afternoon to you as well. This is something that puzzles some, but doesn't puzzle people like yourself who study these things. The apparent apathy of young people with regards to politics in South Africa. Tell us more.
Well, the system has been for quite a while now that young people, the extent that they're involved in decision-making, especially where it comes to influencing decisions on policies that affect them directly, such as issues of access to higher education and fees, access to opportunities of employment and businesses, young people are left on the margins. And there's always a feeling that among them that they become very important to political structures when the elections are about to be done. And then there's a lot of hyperactivity around empowering young people and things related to that. But when the season is not there, like of elections, young people are left on the margins. And most of the time get frustrated because the things that they were promised or the things that have been told that they are spared to them become a very much a distant future, and they get to despair. And when they despair, they resort to use of force and other forms of activism to gain the attention of decision makers. And so my departure is that until that is corrected to the extent that young people feel that they are valued and they are given an opportunity to sit at the table where decisions are made concerning their lives and that their priorities are being appreciated and respected and given the impetus that they need to be given, there will be constantly a challenge between them and the state and the leaders of the society.
Now, if we look at it face on, I think we can use the ruling party as our prime example. If you want to be a young politician within the halls of the ruling party, you have to go and join the youth wing of the party. And I don't like this idea of youth wings. I think young people are old enough, big enough and ugly enough to be in the mainstream. So you have to join this youth wing. You have to sit there until you're 40, and if you're lucky, you might end up in one of the party lists. You might become an MPC, and if you're really lucky, if you're seen as a rising star, you might become an MP. You have to wait until you're 40 until you can make a serious contribution. That's a failure as far as I'm concerned.
That's actually one of the key drivers of the apathy that we see, especially today. Young people do not want to participate actively in any issues that really have to do with building democracy and encouraging others to participate in civic responsibilities like voting, because of exactly that point that you just shared, that they are kept like in the periphery. Like something has to happen for them to be very much ready to be involved in leadership or to be involved in active participation in decision-making policies. And that is one of the frustrations that most young people sit with. We have a huge demography of them who are well-trained, highly qualified. They may be inexperienced in certain things, but that does not mean that they do not know how their future should look like, and does not mean also that they don't have anything to contribute to those who are providing leadership in higher levels. And so the frustration sits with them in many points, that the sense of exclusion becomes even more apparent when they have to be kept on the periphery, even in such institutions or political arrangements that keep on suppressing their ability to exercise their own initiatives, innovativeness, and creativity, even with the challenges that are facing society presently.
I mean, it seems as if the whole CADA deployment thing has just basically put young people into the wilderness. And I will use the word cater deployment even for the Democratic Alliance and other parties. I think they do exactly the same thing as the ANC, except they sugarcoat it a lot better. Do you think that that we need to break this? Because inexperience is something that can always be guided. Young people have got energy, and I think young South Africans, they know what's going on. They're actually, I think, a lot of them have got the vision, although it needs to be guided. But what is wrong with old South Africans that they don't want to accommodate young South Africans?
Well, that's an age-old question. Remember our context as an African continent. There is always that perception that there are certain things you may not receive generally as a young person because you are not old enough. So ageism becomes a dividing factor and limits intergenerational transmission of wisdom, leadership, and capabilities. Because in the eyes of an elderly person, irrespective of how good you are in whatever you do, highly gifted, highly educated, highly innovative, whatever the case may be, so long as you do not show like you have anything to do with old age, you're not prepared for the opportunities to take over. And therefore, the societal arrangement has socialized young people and old and an elderly generation to think that young people cannot participate and therefore they're not worth the assault. So first, to begin with, that's the myth that needs to be demystified. Mm-hmm. That is not about age. It's not about white hair. It's about capabilities and capacities.
Absolutely.
Secondly, what needs to be prioritized is mentorship. My article argues that. How will we bridge the gap if there be no one to hold the hand of the other? And therefore, I argue for generational transmission of wisdom and leadership. And even when it's uncomfortable, the older generation needs to be patient with the young people. Somebody has to hold someone at their hand for them to get to where they are going. We cannot talk to them about leaders or being leaders of tomorrow, but there is nobody holding their hands. And when they are held hands, they're still kept on the periphery. Yeah?
Yes.
So there must be a genuine desire to mentor and a genuine desire to empower and genuine desire to allow them experience what leadership is, even to the extent of failing. I will take it to that level. Let them fail, then pick them up, because then there is a lesson learned. Then we are doing something.
Yeah, in fact, I mean, I think the important thing is picking people up, because our political landscape within politics is notorious for just leaving you in the dirt and moving on to something else. You've also coined a phrase which I quite like, targeted democracy. Just sort of flesh that one out a bit.
So in targeted democracy, I mean, I'm expressing that there has to be concerted efforts towards building their capacity to participate in democratic politics. At present, most of the young people are disillusioned. The concept of democracy for them is very, very much blurry, because what they see and what they have been promised, even through important documents like the Constitution and the Bill of Rights that says you have a right to education, right to freedom, and right to this and the other, in reality, most of them are not experiencing that. We know, like, for example, in South Africa, they fight for access to higher education, access to fees and any other resources that they need to make it work so that they can access those opportunities that they are constitutionally provided. I do not want to say that the government has not done enough. It's still working hard, but there's still a majority of young people that are still far from reaching to those resources. So then, for them, the concept of democracy is very, very, very vague. It is not what they were told that it will look like, even by their own parents, who suffered decades of exclusion and denial from opportunities. And most of them now, young people, have inherited the brunt of those lack of exposure by their parents and the generation that went before them. And now they're battling with new battles. But still, it's the same issue. lack of access. So when I say targeted democracy, I'm saying let's work harder as a society, political parties, civil society, and other stakeholders in enhancing the concept of democracy, but walking the talk. We cannot say one thing to young people and don't do the same. And on the other hand, we're doing the different thing. We are causing confusion as a society, and we are losing them even more. So we target conversations around civic responsibility so that we deal with the issues of entitlement. There is nothing for free in this world, but there is something that we can do when we pick up ourselves, firstly, by recognition that we are citizens, and secondly, as a citizen, I have responsibility. And therefore, thirdly, when I know I have responsibility, I explore opportunities to express the giftings and the potential that I have in service of self, and in service of community and society at large. Then we start dealing with issues of exclusion at a different point of view when we have moved from what I would call from being a subject in a nation to actually a citizen who is willing to co-create a new society with others of the same mindedness. But we cannot do that in an atmosphere where there is a perception of exclusion that is systemic sometimes and sometimes very deliberate.
Dr. Paul Kariuki, Executive Director at the Democracy Development Program at the University of KZN. Thanks for chatting to us. And the clarion cry is young people need a voice in politics now. Dr. Kariuki, as always, a great pleasure.
Thank you so much, sir, for having me on the show.
Drive Time 91.3. Always on the cutting edge.